Luke chapter 2, we'll read beginning in verse 8. If you'll stand with me for the reading of God's word, we'll read down to verse 11. 8, 9, 10, and 11, Luke chapter 2. For there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for just a wonderful Sunday here at the home church. All we've experienced, all we've felt, Lord. Thank you, dear God, for a week ahead, Lord, where I think again, anticipation and excitement because of the Christmas season. And I pray, Lord, that as we leave this place, dear Lord, we'll take this great truth with us. And Lord, may it carry us not just through the holiday season, but may it carry us, Lord, through a brand new year. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Christmas season. The Christmas season evokes in all of us a great array of emotions. And it's fun to watch the children because almost without exception in children, they're all positive emotions. I think that's why we like watching kids during the Christmas season. Excitement, and I still feel that. Anticipation, happiness, thankfulness, and then shock and surprise at either what we did get or didn't get. And so all kinds of emotions come into play during the Christmas season. I was talking to Brother and Mrs. Dively, and we were talking about as you get older, the spectrum of emotion during the holidays broadens. And you know what, folks, watch this. This isn't necessarily a bad thing. Matter of fact, I'm going to try to sell you on it a little bit for just a minute or two. You know, for many people in this room, part of the holidays emotions, set of emotions includes sadness. Sure it does, especially as you get older. You know, we forget sometimes the passing of people and the time of the passing of people. And I don't think anybody in the church ought to be put on a guilt trip about that. Just look right up here and let me help you, okay? If we had to stop and re-grieve everybody's loved one that ever passed at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we'd be grieving 365 days a week. And don't ever become that person in the church that because of your private set of griefs, you want to insist that everybody else grieves when you grieve. Folks, listen, there's enough heartache to go around, all right? But at the same time, I think one of the things that's good for us to be aware of is the fact that during the holidays, people a lot of times are celebrating, if you'll let me say this, if it's a Christian loved one, celebrating the homegoing of someone that's very dear to them. I always, this time of year, almost anticipate when we are asking for anniversaries. I just anticipate seeing Sister Maxine's hand go up because her and Brother Dallas, if you'll remember, was married on Christmas Eve. Is that right? Christmas Eve they were married? And that hasn't happened for many years now. And yet, I always got a sense that, well, somebody's anniversary is now, and then I'll see Sister Maxine and I'll remember that. But let me say this, she remembers it every Christmas Eve. And all of us have our times of sadness and times of grief that is somewhat connected. Now watch this, folks. Listen to me. Again, I'm kind of glad that that's a part of it. Come on now. Listen, I don't think you've lived a full life if you have not experienced the full array of emotions of life. And you know what? Sadness can be, if you'll let it, just as good for you as joy. And tears can be just as cleansing and helpful as laughter. And so we experience sadness. We experience grief. Some folks will experience times of loneliness during the Christmas season. And I don't think, again, you ought to allow any of these emotions to, you know, dismiss or dispel all the other wonderful emotions that are available to you, but I don't think it's also a bad thing necessarily to miss somebody at Christmas. On Christmas Day, it'll be me and my wife, it'll be Bev and Lloyd, and it'll be Mom and Brother Charles. We've got this plan to come to the house. And we'll enjoy ourselves. And I've decided what we're going to have. You know what we're going to have? Peanut butter. We are going to have peanut butter because I don't know how else to get rid of this thing. And so now they're really excited to be able to come to my house on Christmas. Preacher, will there be a couple times during the day that you stop and miss the kids? Absolutely. Will you feel a little lonely? I hope so. Look up here. Did you hear me? I hope so. I'd hate to get to the point where I was so calloused I didn't have those emotions. And so, yeah, I will. But are you going to let that be the primary emotion of the day? Watch this. Absolutely not. But can it be invited to the table with the other emotions? Absolutely. Is that okay? Sure. For some people, they become experience some melancholy during the season. And again, I think as long as none of these expel all the other ones, all of them together, watch this really kind of make Christmas, because you know what? They make up who we are. I'll even say this, the emotion of regret. You know, you say, well, preacher, that's destructive emotion. Look right up here. I don't think it is. You know what? I'm not worried about the person that has regrets, some regrets in life. I'm worried about the person that doesn't regret anything. Are you listening to me? Think about that a minute. I'm not worried about the person that has some regrets in life, because at least they understand that there's things they've messed up in life. And you know what? Regrets, if you'll turn them to a positive vein, will help you to learn a lesson so that you will never have a regret in that area again. You can't go back and fix everything, but again, I wouldn't want my life to be without regrets, because that would mean my conscience has probably been seared with a hot iron. I want to think to myself, you know, if I had a few do-overs, I'd do this. I don't, but I can learn from that and make sure that I'm better with the people in my life now that maybe I have been in the past. And so I don't want to expel any of these things. Now, having said that, listen to me. I wouldn't want to eliminate any of these from Christmas. I wouldn't. The vast variety of emotion is part of what makes Christians special, and it also is part of what makes a life broad and full. But if you were to say, preacher, what is the one emotion that you will feel and have felt more than any other of these emotions during the Christmas season, which one would it be? It would be J-O-Y. It would be joy. Joy. Now let me say this. I do so. I feel that emotion more than any other. I do so because it is the one emotion I have control of, one emotion I can produce. Please listen to me. The others come upon me, surprise me, bless me, curse me, leave me. But one emotion can be produced and sustained by carefully and consistently living by a simple set of priorities. There's not too many things that we do on accident here. A lot of the things that I've put into the program of the church is done very specifically, and there's a reason that more Sunday mornings than not, the children and the adults, at least those of you that choose to come into the auditorium during opening assembly, which I wish would be everybody. It's a challenge to run a program up here and have 40 people in the foyer talking and laughing and carrying on. Folks, help me out on that. Are you looking right up here? Oh, but I'm the exception. No, you're not. You need to be in the service during opening assembly. There, I just evoked an emotion in you, amen? And make it a positive thing in your life. But the children and the young people, Jesus and others and you, what a wonderful way to spell joy. Jesus and others and you. In the life of each girl and each boy. J is for Jesus, for he has first place. O is for others you meet face to face. Y is for you in whatever you do. So put yourself where? And spell joy. Now listen, folks, there is undergirding all of these other emotions that come and go and visit and make up who we are. There should be a foundational emotion that doesn't leave. It doesn't come. It doesn't go. It's just there. Because, see, it's not an emotion. It's a gift of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And it's produced when we follow a Bible formula. I want to speak on this subject tonight, great joy. Jesus and others and you. Priorities that produce great joy. We have worked hard. And thank you, church. I feel like that we've done this corporately. I feel like the church has joined in on this. But I think we've worked very hard to just dedicate ourselves in the month of December to keeping Jesus preeminent in all things. I mentioned the other day, it's a joy to be able to drive through the community and see many of you grabbed one of those signs and put it up in your yard, and I'm going by and seeing Jesus is the reason for the season. Keep Christ in Christmas. 1,000 tracts passed out in the name of Jesus mentioned. Folks, listen to me. That doesn't just work well during the Christmas holidays. It works well all through your life. You see, people that have joy have a strong connection to Jesus, because without Jesus, you cannot have joy. Listen to me. Without Jesus and without him having first place in your life, you cannot have joy. I think that joy is produced for the first time in a person when they are saved by Jesus Christ. That's the first moment where a person, a human being, really experiences Bible joy, is when they're saved. Remember that moment when you got saved? And listen, there's no emotion, there's nothing that's ever happened in your life prior to that that matched that. There was a brand new element, a brand new emotion, a brand new experience, that unique feeling, you know what it was? Joy! Because see, before that, you could not experience joy because you didn't have Jesus. And so the song goes like this. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. And you know what? The honest truth is, without Jesus, there could be no joy. What did the angel say? Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. You mean this is available? How? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And so show me the person that's saved, and I'll show you a person that can have access to joy, and it can be the undergirding emotion, undergirding element of their life. But not someone who's just saved by Jesus Christ, but somebody who's separated unto Jesus Christ. You see, folks, I believe this separation leads to service, and salvation puts in your heart a desire to separate yourself from the world unto Jesus Christ, and a desire to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The desire to serve should put in you a desire to be separated. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Right after love, which is the greatest of all of the fruits of the Spirit, is J-O-Y, Jesus, others, and you. You know what, folks? You cannot experience that fruit of the Spirit without the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Look up here, and you cannot have the fullness of the Holy Spirit if you are full of self and full of sin. And one of the things that ought to drive us to be right with God and be clean and be separated from the world is that one of the rewards of the Spirit-filled life is joy. Amen. Is joy. I had and I be very careful with what I use as far as illustrations that come through private counsel, but several years ago, a young man came that had been away from God for some time and sat in my office. And he was very honest, very upfront, very honest, and I appreciated that. But he looked at me and he said, "Preacher, you know," he said, I just had made up my mind and decided that the only way I could really ever be happy is to go out and do what I wanted to do. And he said, "So I decided to do that." And he said this, by the way, watch this. He said, "For a while, I was happy." Now, doesn't the Bible even teach us that sin has pleasure for a season? And he said, "But I noticed this, that the longer I was in the world and the farther I went down the road into the world, the harder I had to work to produce this happiness. And pretty soon, the toil and the labor and the effort that I have to put into for just a few minutes of pleasure made me," this is almost his exact words, "made me miss the joy that I had all of the time when I was right with the Lord." And you know, there's just something about being right with the Lord. Listen, folks, I don't know where you're at. It's not for me to judge. This is between you and God. But you know what? Don't close out 2014 in a backslidden condition. Don't close out a year that way. I know we're going into Christmas time, but the new year looms, and I think it would be, you would be well served to enter into a brand new year clean before God and right with God and back to where you ought to be with the Lord. Listen, if you're going to have joy, it's got to start with Jesus. Being saved by Jesus, being separated unto Christ, serving the Lord, and can I say this, even suffering for the Lord. You say, preacher, wait a minute. What in the world does suffering have to do with joy? Well, let me give you some verses. My brother, encounter all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Isn't it interesting? You could suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ and still never, never lose your joy. How about in Acts chapter 5? And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Now, I'm going to tell you this. You can believe it or not. If you've experienced it, you know I'm telling you the truth. But there is a joy that comes with suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a joy and a rejoicing that comes with it. Because you know what? Suffering for the Lord and having the opportunity for suffer the Lord. See, I'm not convinced. How about this? Matthew 5, verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted some of they, the prophets which were before you. Now, watch this. I want to say this and then we'll move on. Some of the greatest moments of pure joy a Christian can experience is when you have a seemingly legitimate reason not to serve Jesus, but you do it anyway. But you do it anyway. And with that comes its own reward. I'm standing at the back door here this morning watching the buses pull up. I'm standing there with Brother Estelle Senders, and we watched the first wave of kids come into the church, and then I watched Lynette take the effort that is required of her to get just off the bus. And I leaned over and I said to Brother Estelle, I said, you know what, there's a whole bunch of people. I mean, just listen to me. There's a whole bunch of people, I'm afraid, in my church that's convinced themselves that they have legitimate reasons for not working in the bus ministry, not really sacrificing much at all when it comes to bringing anybody to church. And if you were to approach them about it, you know what? They pull those excuses, they pull those reasons like a gun, as if to, how dare you suggest? But there's a girl that if she said to me tomorrow, preacher, I don't think I can do this bus ministry thing anymore, I'd say, kiddo, I understand that. Good night. But you know what? She doesn't. And I promise you this, that girl knows more about joy than any selfish person in this room. And I'm just not trying to pick one out. Good night. Brother John, I'm rooting for you. And by the way, I'm rooting for this family. Root for this family. Brother John's health is deteriorating. He's been diagnosed and has for years dealt with a debilitating sickness and disease. And it's now got to the point where it doesn't look like he's going to be able to continue working. And they're going through a process. And I'm going to tell you something. Don't bet against this family back here. Don't bet against this family back here. Because I'm going to tell you something. You know one of the things that I love? They haven't stopped serving the Lord. They haven't stopped serving the Lord. Now, could I start at the front of the church here and move all the way around and tell those type of stories? Can I say this very happily? I could here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Because if you're still serving God, watch this. If you're still serving God, the difference between the person that's still serving God and the person that's not serving God is not that the person that's still serving God hasn't had some reasons or some times where, you know what, it became hard or difficult or near impossible. But you know what they decided? Jesus and others and you, what a wonderful way to spell joy. And you know what? I'm not going to let Jesus down. Maybe I can't do everything I used to do, but I'm going to do what I can do. And I'm going to do as much as I can do, and I'm going to serve the Lord. And you know what, folks, watch this. If you just decide, listen, Jesus saved me. I'm going to be separated unto him from the world. I'm going to serve him. And even if I have to suffer, I'm going to keep serving him. Then you've laid the foundation. You've got the first capital letter in this word of joy because you are focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. The second word is others. witnessing to others, winning others, investing in others, helping others. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know what, folks? Just keep after Blessed Oak Baptist Church. Let's not take a step back. Let's not change the emphasis. Let's not change the program. What, preacher, what are we going to do in 2015? Can I say this? Oh, we'll repackage it to a different theme and we'll have some different emphasis. But you don't know if you notice, nothing really changes. What we're doing is we're going after lost people. We're going to live for others. We're going to stay busy trying to bring people to the kingdom of God. I so enjoyed the time we got to spend with the young people in May, and I so enjoyed our trip to the Indian reservation. And we made Philippians the key book of the trip, and every single morning when we got on the bus for 3 days out there, 3 days serving, 3 days back, we had a different one of the young men, four different young men get up, and one would read Philippians chapter 1, and one would read Philippians chapter 2, and one would read Philippians chapter 3, one would read Philippians chapter 4, and we'd do that first thing when we got on the bus. And before we left, I told our young people, I want you to focus in on Philippians 2, 17 and 18. Can I have you turn there? It's worth it. It's worth the time here. Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. Philippians 2, 17 and 18. Folks, listen to me. If you get this, I promise you, oh, preacher, I'm not happy. I don't have the joy you're talking about. Jesus, others than you. Jesus, others than you. If you'll consistently do that, I promise you, the undergirding foundational emotion of your life, the gift of the Spirit to you will be joy. Notice what it says here. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. You know what ministry is, folks? Ministry is climbing upon the altar of somebody else's life and allowing yourself to be offered as a sacrifice for the benefit of their faith, for the benefit of their faith, to help them. Happiest people in the world are people who've lost their lives in investing in others and living for others. We prepped the kids for a trip, and I told them, from the time we leave till the time we come back, it's going to be about ministry. And that means ministering, yes, when we get there, but that means ministering on the way. You're not going to believe, I don't know if I told you that, you're not going to believe one of the things that I did. And I didn't tell them I was going to do this. I took every single person on the bus, and I made a calendar. And every day that we were gone, remember these papers I passed out to you? Every day that we were gone on this trip, we divided, and I mean, everybody had their own calendar. It had Katie McMillan at the top. And then every day she was assigned a different one or two or three people on our bus that she needed to do something for and be a blessing to or give a gift to. And I never forget it, because when I passed them out and was explaining this, one of the young men, I won't mention his name, but it begins with an L, and it's U-C, Lucas, I'll just say, holds his hand up and looks at me just terrified, and he looks at his paper and he said, you mean we have to do this for girls too? And I thought, buddy, he's a chip off the old block. That's old Brother Abel right there. He learned that from his dad. Like he just couldn't believe I was going to make him be nice to girls on this trip. And I'm like, yes, girls are people too. And you know what? We watched. Listen, folks, if I could recreate in Blessed Oak Baptist Church what we experienced with 22 of us, is that what it was? 28 of us. I don't know, I think we left with 28, came back with 22, something like that. If I could recreate in this church what that group experienced for 9 days, it would transform. But I can. But you know what? I'm not going to make you a calendar. And I'm not going to micromanage you like a teenager. I'm going to tell you this. Watch this. Live like Jesus. That's all it takes. You know, if you just decide, okay, I got 52 weeks next year, I'll tell you what. Our family's going to pick another family in this church. And for 52 solid weeks, we're going to do something to be a blessing to some other family in this church. I promise you it transformed the spirit of this church if everybody just decided to do it. Some of you are already excited about that idea because that means people will be doing something nice for you. And as I often say, I cannot help you because I can't change the thinking. But boy, if you'd step over the line. If you say, preacher, what, wait a minute, isn't there a why in here somewhere? Yeah, let's end with that. Why? What about me? What about you? Well, preacher, come on, can't something be about me? Well, here's what I want you to soak in. Here's the question I guess I want to ask you in return. How bad do you want joy? How bad do you want joy? Now, let me just say this, folks. You do reap what you sow. Can I say this? You know what? The person who's the least worried about them is oftentimes has more personal blessings than the person that's all about them. And the happiest people in the world say, preacher, what do I do with me? Keep yourself clean before God. Keep yourself crucified and out of the way because, as my dad would often say, you get up in the morning, you look in the mirror, and you're going to see the person. You'll be looking at the person going to cause you the most trouble that day. And the honest truth is, a person that's fixated on themselves, if you watch them, and if you watch their countenance, it's kind of sad. It's a sad study. Because you know what? They can go out and create moments of pleasure and joy through sin and selfishness. But the honest truth is, a light's gone out. Listen to me, a light's gone out. It's just a light that's out. The glow's gone. The anointing's gone. And you know what? The farther you go down that road, the more miserable of a person that you're going to become. Older folks, senior saints, watch this. Have you noticed that when people age, they either get sweeter or crabbier? And I don't want to be that person. I mean that. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that person. And the only way I'm not going to become that person is Jesus and others and you. What a wonderful way to spell joy. Preacher, what about me? Keep yourself clean. Keep yourself crucified. Keep yourself consumed in a cause. And I'm going to ask you in 2015, we're not going to say a lot about it until we get into January a little bit, but I'm going to ask some of you to lose yourself in a cause. I'm going to ask some of you to lose yourself in a ministry. I'm going to ask some of you who've been kind of holding back or about half in and half out to get back full on to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, why? Because, well, Jesus is coming back. And I think it's soon. And it's gonna produce souls into the kingdom of heaven. But you know what? Can I say this and we're done? Watch it. It's going to do you a lot of good. Because you know what? There's no better life than a life lived, lost in the service of other people. There's just no better life than that. I was talking to the kids in chapel. And I was doing a little thing with them. All right, here it is. Closing illustration. And I said, I'm not going to beat up you elementary students, okay? I'm not even going to try to put you on a guilt trip. For kids, you know what? Here it is. Presents for Christmas Day. Here it is. Presents, that's priority. People, all right? But I said to our young people this. I said, you know, one of the parts of the maturation process, one of the parts of maturing in life and maturing as a Christian is this. Things become less and less important, and people become more and more important. And I said this. I said, I want all of you, elementary, junior high, high school, to take a moment on Christmas Day if you're celebrating it with your family. And don't be so fixated what's under the tree, but take a moment and look at who's sitting around the tree. I said this to our high schoolers. You don't realize it yet. It probably hasn't occurred to most of you. But some of you just have one or two or three more Christmases with your family like that. And after you go off to college or whatever you would do in life, you're going to fight and struggle to get back and have those times. And even when you do, watch this, it will never really ever be the same. So soak it up. You know, here's presents, here's people. And then you grow up a little bit and then you get to, come on now, you get to our age, come on older folks. And is there anything you want for Christmas? Yeah, there is. You know what you want? Your family. You know what you want? to reach out and find somebody that maybe isn't going to have a Christmas. You know what you want? An opportunity to be a blessing. You know what you want? To give somebody something, to touch a life, to help somebody, to put a smile on somebody's face. Well, preacher, I mean, some of you, you know, you ask your wives, what do you want for Christmas? And they say, I don't want anything. I don't need anything. All of the men are looking at me with blank stares like they've never experienced this in their life before. Let me tell you how it is in my home, okay? I don't want anything. I don't need anything. And what do you want for Christmas? I don't know. I can't think of anything except to be a blessing. Jesus, others, and you. What a wonderful way to spell joy. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this angelic visit. Thank you, Lord, that part of that first Christmas night was singing and praising and glorifying God and announcing that great joy was to come to all people. And Lord, from that little word comes a formula for life. From that little word produces something in us, dear God, that the devil and the world and circumstances, nothing can rob joy from the heart of a Christian that keeps Jesus first, others second, themselves last. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, as we all deal with the variety of emotions that come with Christmas Day. And Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that you'd be with that person that struggles the most, dear God, the person that perhaps, Lord, battles some of the what we might call negative emotions of Christmas. I pray, Lord, that you would help with the Holy Spirit's help to turn those things, even those things, into positive things. And Lord, may we have a wonderful Christmas celebration. Help us to keep in mind, dear God, this wonderful formula as we enter into a new year. We pray in Jesus' name.